Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Happy July. It's July 2nd, 2012, and this is the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. All right. Well, those of you that were tuned in this past Friday, you know I pulled the Dobson. I kept Tim and Melissa Parker in the studio. So this is going to be the continuation of our conversation, and you're going to hear some more about their mission work in Haiti. Tim, you've been there, you said, eight different trips?
Yeah, I've been there 8 times.
And that's just in the last few years.
Yeah, that it was about 3 months after the earthquake is when we started going down.
And then, Melissa, how many times have you been over?
I've been 3.
Okay, 3 times, but literally in the next few months, you'll be selling your home and moving to Haiti and establishing a house there or your family there, at least one of your daughters. Your number one son, your 19-year-old Tyler, who's staying back to continue at Lincoln Christian University. But Chelsea will be joining you, and you're going to really set up home. You're going to work with orphans. You're going to help build a church and help orchestrate
a vocational school and maybe a medical center in the works.
Okay, and we're going to talk a lot about that. And for those of you that missed Friday's program, it is archived at our website, greatnewsradio.org. And just look for Tim and Melissa Parker's name. You can click on that link and listen to it, whether the MP3 version or the Windows Media version or the podcast version. And you can right-click on it. I don't know if you know this, everyone. You can right-click on it and paste the link into an email and send it to a friend anywhere around the country or world, for that matter, and they can listen to the program. So I don't know, Tim, if you and Melissa want to send it to your family members, but know that you can right-click on it once you're at greatnewsradio.org under the Archive Programs page. You right-click on the link, and it'll say copy the link, and then you just paste it into an email and say, hey, you might get a kick out of this interview, or you might be blessed by what's said and shared. So stop by if you're unfamiliar with the story that Tim and Melissa began sharing on Friday, because you'll be really blessed by their story. And we need prayer partners to come alongside these two. We need financial supporters, some with the one-time startup costs, some with the monthly ongoing costs, and it's a great needed work, and they're literally stepping out in faith saying, Lord, provide, as it seems like you have called us to serve in this way. So before we get to that specific calling, and you began talking about it a little on Friday, and you began talking about some of your life story, but I want to know about those 2 tattoos, because I was fascinated. When I saw your first picture, I was like, wow, he's got an interesting tattoo on that left arm. But now that I've seen your right arm, it's like, oh man, that's way better. But you were very intentional on why you did the right one and the message behind it. So talk about kind of those opposites, if you will, and how many of us live in that fallen world state where we're being sanctified, we're being refined, we've messed up, we've made poor choices, and yet your desire, your heart, like David, you have a heart after God, and yet there are times where you made mistakes, like we all are. We're flawed, we're fallen, but you have 2 interesting tattoos that I think convey that. Tell me about them.
Well, I'll tell you that at the age of 30, I accepted Christ for the first time in my life. Actually, I told my wife that I wanted to go to church, and I kind of floored her, I think. She'd been going to her home church for 30 years, and out of the blue, I had some friends attending this little church of Lodge. Lodge Church of God. So I said I wanted to try it. I didn't know why, really, what was going on, but I walked into the church. I felt accepted for the first time in my life. I felt loved. I felt it was okay for the past that I have. I was forgiven for that, you know. And one of the things that I wanted to do was, I know not everyone's crazy about the tattoos and everything, but I needed something to grab me, something to remind me of where I've been and what I'm doing. And so on my right arm, where I reach out and I can shake hands, I have a big cross, and in the cross is the Lord's hand, and the Lord's hand is reaching out of the cross and reaching the lost soul, which is me, and pulling me into Him, because He accepted me for who I was and forgave me before I even asked for forgiveness for what I have done, you know. And then my other arm is a little different. It reminds me of the things that I have done wrong, what I have dishonored God in so many ways as a young man. I have flames that go up my arm.
Yeah. You know what? When I've already posted a photograph of you two, and maybe I'll post another one that zooms in a little more, because these aren't just little flames. These go up your whole arm, and the cross, it's, you know, about 4 inches across and about 6 or 8 inches down. I mean, it's substantial, and yeah, it's very uniquely designed. mind. And like you said, when you reach out, and you're a good-sized man, you know, when you give somebody a good handshake, I mean, they see that, and you said there's many conversations about it.
It starts a lot of conversations, and the reason I put it on my right arm is because it's the right way for me to go. This is Christ. When I meet someone new and I shake their hand, they immediately see the cross, and they see me, and then they wonder, well, he's a Christian, or what is this deal about his arm? So it starts up conversations.
Now, you mentioned it was at the age of 30 when you kind of came to Christ, and on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, you talked about at the age of 6 being adopted into a loving family.
Absolutely.
And yet, like many people, there's still scars and issues and unresolved. Why was I abandoned, or why did my biological parents keep me? And so there's a period of time where you acted out and partied. And did what many people would do. I won't say love for all in all the wrong places, but you were trying to fill that vacuum in your life. So what was it? And I know part of it. I know Melissa was praying and praying and praying for you, but
yes.
What got you to the point where you said, I'm going to go and try that church?
I was getting to a point in my life that I had made the statement to my wife that I didn't know if I would live to be past 30.
Hmm.
And to be honest with you, I didn't, because my old self died and I accepted Christ at the age of 30. My wife had prayed for me for years. I felt this abandonedness. I was wanting to be done with it. Christ offered me the open arms, and he hadn't abandoned me. I had never accepted it. He gave me comfort.
Was it through the spoken word? Was it through how your wife was modeling it? I mean, what pierced your heart? What had you feel comfortable to, I mean, that was safe to approach Jesus? Because many times you're preached at, or you're a sinner going to hell, or, you know, Tim, you're drinking, you're far from God, he's not interested in you. Who was telling you that he loves you, that he cared for you? How did your heart receive that message?
When we went to Lodge, Lodge Church of God, it was the first time I had walked into a church and felt the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit really hit me immediately. I could hear it being preached, and I could see it in action with prayer and acceptance. I was not the only person in that church that had been in the places that I had been, because there were several of them there that I had gone out with,
right,
and they had accepted Christ. And so I had kind of seen their actions and decided that this is something I want to fulfill, try out, see what it all is all about. There again, like when I walked into Haiti, I didn't know how it was going to change me. When I walked into Lodge and accepted Christ, I felt at peace.
Mm. And I guess I ask that because I'm sure there's some listeners or people scanning the dial that are like, maybe in their mind they're like, that's a novel idea that people are accepting. People don't accept me. I have felt rejected my whole life. This talk about a God that cares, I can't identify. I don't understand. And so what would you say to an individual that may have abandonment issues, that may have issues that nobody cares about me, or I just don't fit? There may be people that are scanning the dial that feel like life is not worth living anymore. What would you say to them?
Well, I have felt that myself at times. What I would say is, Jesus is, I have a hard time comprehending our Lord. He absolutely gave his one and only Son for us.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt worthy of that. I know I am worthy of that, because that is what he has done for us. Sometimes I get a little emotional about it. I just think that I just think that it is true, when you walk in and find a place that accepts you and know that God is present in there's something in your heart that changes. It truly fills you. I can't say that I lost the abandonment issues altogether, because I still have things that go in my head, but I absolutely I feel fulfilled. I feel that I'm loved.
Yeah. Well, and let me tell you, Tim, it's no surprise for you to have a hard time answering that, because I don't think any of us can really truly comprehend this almighty sovereign God that could do anything, that has created the world, that is unbelievable, that he would take a personal interest in us. I mean, we really We can't fathom that. And even on our best days, when we kind of get a glimpse of that, it's so overwhelming. And really, it could fuel us the rest of our lives. It's just we get busy and life circumstances weigh us down and we lose focus on that fact. Because I think that's maybe one of Satan's greatest ploys or distractions, is to not have us dwell on that and understand or take it in how much God really loves us. I mean, it's just because it is unbelievable. If we could just camp out here, just, you know, God, it's just so unbelievable that you care. And that's
exactly
for anyone that's maybe driving along or wrestling with their identity. They didn't tune in by chance. I believe God is a divine appointment to specifically tell them that he loves them. And that's the message of this radio ministry. And that's the message that you received, and you received, Melissa, at an earlier age. It's that concept that God loves us. We're here. We've been created with a purpose. We've been created for meaningful work. And we've been created for that relationship, that intimate relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Tim, hey, you know, none of us can really explain that. And I think the best we can do is just say, thank you, God, that you're merciful, that you're full of grace, and that you love us. And it's incomprehensible, but it's a truth. And it's a truth that we have to take to the core of our heart. Melissa, you've known that for many, many years, and you've prayed very specifically that Tim would come to know that. So how did you start seeing those changes in him as he came home and he got it, and you were probably pretty excited?
Oh, yeah, really excited. Yeah, like I said on Friday, that we met at a really young age and got married, and he wasn't a Christian, and all I knew that, you know, God would have to work on him and that I would leave it in God's hands. So I just prayed, and then he did get saved, and since then, seeing the changes in him, and then since we've been going down to Haiti and serving, it's just been, the changes have been enormous, and just, I just know that it's really God sent, that this is what we're supposed to go and do, because you can definitely see the changes in Tim and priorities and all that.
Now, I know it's a little scary, if you will, maybe not scary. Scary is probably not the best word, but whenever you step out on kind of those front lines, or you're like, almost like, I can't remember what author, reckless abandonment. Okay, Lord, if you're in this, I'm going to step forward, but I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how the funds are going to be raised. We're literally going to be selling our home. We're going to be moving to a country that, yes, we've served there a number of times, but we're going to be leaving behind our friends and our close loved ones, and we're going to be kind of stepping in. I think somebody calls it going from your comfort zone to God's courageous zone, where you're going to be leaning heavily on him. And on Friday, we shared some of your very specific requests, that people would be established as prayer partners, that some would come alongside and be maybe the one-time givers for some of your startup costs, and others would be not only prayer partners, but would monthly support you because you're going to have ongoing expenses. And I know you've itemized these things in a nice little flyer. So if people wanted to maybe contact you directly, or to pick up a flyer, or to know more how they could support you, where could they go and how could they get a hold of you?
Okay. Well, the first way is we have a phone number. Tim has a phone number, and I'll just give you that. Tim's phone number is 217-649-8315. And again, that's 217-649-8315. And then we also have Facebook pages. Both of us do. Melissa Parker, Tim Parker. And then we have a mission Facebook page, which is Parker's Haiti Mission with God's Littlest Angels. And that's, again, is Parker's Haiti Mission with God's Littlest Angels.
And then also they can go to God's Littlest Angels website, and that's been simplified with glahaiti.org. glahaiti.org. And you can always call the station. Karen will have all this information for you. Call us at 217-367-7777. Well, we shared some of your story on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, so you can hear that at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. But I know during, I think it was your first trip, you met Rose and God began doing a work in your life, because initially you thought, yeah, short-term missions, yeah, I want to help. hey, if it's going to help orphans, I'm all about that. I've been orphaned myself, and yeah. I know what it means to be adopted and to be abandoned, and yet I know what it means to be loved, and God's loved on me. And we shared on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends the James 1:27 passage that states, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And something happened on that first trip, Tim, where you found out that maybe there were going to be future trips. And did you ever think that you would permanently even move over there?
Well, I tell you, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, there was no way. I worked for the University of Illinois at Allerton Park, have a very good job, you know, retirement set up. And we have a beautiful little home in Monticello. I'm an avid motorcycle rider. We've ridden Harleys all over the countryside. And no, I absolutely did not think that I thought we were going to go down one time, serve, do my
Christian duty.
My Christian duty, right? And so it really changed. So I can tell you, the very first time we went into Haiti was 3 months after the earthquake. It was an intimidating place for me. You know, you said earlier I was a bigger guy, but we walked out of the airport into the very first tent city. There wasn't a fence or nothing. So I was a little shocked. I was a little overwhelmed. I looked at my wife and I thought, what have I just brought my wife into? There was 10 of us at that time. We all got into the back of a vehicle and we drove up to the top of the mountain to the orphanage. We had some time to waste before we went and had our dinner for that evening. The orphanage asked us, they gathered us around and said, why don't you guys go up on the balcony, grab some of the kids, and go play with them before dinner. Kind of introduce yourself. The men don't usually get that much time to spend with the kids. We'd go down there and do a lot of building and construction and things like that. So we went upstairs and we all grabbed babies. And I have a hard enough time with English, let alone Creole or French names and of this sort. And so I knew I would probably struggle with names. And everyone got their baby and I got my child, a little girl, and I walked out to the balcony. My wife asked me, she said, why are you crying? Hmm. I said, here I am in a country, and God has put this little baby girl in my hands, and her name is Rose.
Hmm.
Rose is a name I've struggled with my whole life because it's my biological mom's name.
Hmm.
I knew God was talking to me immediately.
Hmm.
I didn't know what he was trying to do. I was a little confused at first, and I prayed silently. I didn't even tell my wife. I just said, you know, Lord, I feel you. I know your presence is here, and I know you, for whatever reason, I'm here on purpose. And I could tell through the rest of the trip that things were just really clicking with me and the founders, John and Dixie Bickle, and everything was going very well. We got on the plane to come home a week later, and I just prayed to the Lord. I said, you just use me. Use me in any way you can. Little did I know that meant that I would be in Haiti 1 week later. I got a phone call. They had a need, and I just told my wife. I said, I told the Lord that I was available, and I said, I have to go. And so we got on a plane a week later, and everything has really changed. We sat down with our pastor, Mike Heiniger, from Crossroads. Our church has a very big heart for orphans and missions. We have several families that have adopted from Ethiopia, and we do several mission trips, some into Mexico, Guatemala, and into Haiti now. I sat down with Mike, and I said, hey, I think that the Lord's calling me to be a full-time missionary. And he kind of looked at me, and he said, well, Tim, when you sold your Harley, I knew something was wrong. So... He didn't say wrong. He said he knew something was happening. So, that was our first trip there, and it was a very powerful, and God was directly speaking to me, and I noticed that, and I was willing to accept that. Me and my wife prayed for a year and a half to decide if this was the proper way to go, and we both agreed after being very prayerful about it that we needed to follow the Lord.
Well, I know you're stepping out in great faith because you're giving up your job at the university and you're raising funds now and you're planning not just the short-term experience because you've done that 5, 6, 7, 8 different times, but now you're literally moving with your family. And I know, Melissa, that you're excited about it and you're fully supportive.
Absolutely,
and you're
yes.
kind of saying, okay, Lord, if this is where you're calling us, we're willing to serve. And you're looking for prayer partners, you're looking for one-time supporters, and you're also hoping people will monthly support the work you're going to be doing. You're going to be working in an orphanage. You're going to be helping to build a church and helping to maybe have a hospital.
We're going to eventually do a hospital and a vocational school so that we can get some medical needs met up on the mountain and teach some skills for labor.
So if people want to get in touch with you, because you're also interested in speaking locally over the next few months in the
Absolutely.
Area churches, civic groups, maybe a Sunday school class. You live in the Monticello area, but you're willing to travel a little bit throughout East Central Illinois. And how would people get a hold of you? And once again, give us a website so people can get more information.
Yeah, you can get a hold of glahaiti.org. That is glahaiti.org. And that will kind of give you a outlook of the orphanage in Haiti.
And then on that website, they will search or be able to find Tim and Melissa Parker somewhere on there.
Yeah, if you go off to the sidebar, onto the left there, it will say supporting missionaries, I believe, Melissa.
It just says, I do believe it says, like, credit card or, you know, to make a donation or something. And then once you click on that, then there's different categories, and missionaries is one of the categories. And then our name is under that.
Okay, so that's one easy way. And
yep.
if they want to call you up and say, hey, I want to know more, or come speak to my church or organization, or I want you to know that I'll be praying for you daily, and this is my email address, include me in your prayer updates, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, my phone number is 217-649-8315. And again, that is 217-649-8315. You also could reach me at parker71haiti@gmail.com.
Parker71, the number 7 and the number 1, haiti@gmail.com. Well, we're out of time. Those of you that may have just tuned in or missed a part of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, along with last Friday's broadcast. So a few days ago, we had them on. We kept them in the studio, and this is the remainder of our conversation. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Be in prayer over the Parkers, Tim and Melissa. They're going out on the front lines. They're selling their house. They're really moving everything to Haiti, and this would be a great way for you to get in on the ground floor of this new mission work, this orphanage they're going to be helping to build and oversee and be involved in. So be praying for Tim and Melissa, and thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.